Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some little orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the very first Razzball Football Podcast. We are very excited to be here. I am your host for this season of Fantasy Football Knowledge. My name is Nick Capozzi. You might know me from the Fantasy Baseball Podcast, but we're going to be bringing you nothing but football for the rest of the year, along with my partner, the analyst from Razzball.com, Mr. J.P. Gilpin. J.B., how I called you J.P. It's J.B. Already I'm getting that wrong. How are you, J.B.?
I'm good, man. I'm not as cool as your boy J.P. Aaron Sibbia. I know that, but... It's good to be here. I'm excited for 2012. Excited to pick nothing but quarterbacks in the first round, but it's going to be a good year.
Beautiful. And you know what? Just maybe so I don't get it wrong, I'm just going to call you a big sexy because you're like 6 foot eight of sexiness.
I try. I bring the white thunder.
All right. So let's give the nice folks at home a little rundown of how this is going to work this season. We're going to be here for you all season long. And what we'll do is we're going to record these on Tuesday nights. They'll be posted on Razzball.com on Wednesdays. You'll be able to find them, of course, on Razzball.com and also on iTunes where you can subscribe. So that way you can take us with you, just hopefully not to the washroom in the morning. For tonight's show, this is going to be the very first show. And what we're going to discuss tonight is 20 players who will matter one way or another in 2012. So we've got a name, list of names that we're going to go through. A couple more things that will be coming up in the next few weeks leading up to the regular season. Next week, I will be interviewing Mr. BJ Riddell, the author of Fantasy Football for Winners, the kick-ass guide to dominating your league. So that's available right now on Amazon.com, but we will be interviewing him next week. The week after that, we've got a special guest who we're not going to announce yet. It is not Gray and Rudy from the Baseball Podcast, but we do have someone lined up, so that's going to be pretty exciting. And then starting the Wednesday of week one, JB and I will be here every week covering all the fantasy football trends you need to know to bring home the hardware. If you want to reach either of us, you can follow us, of course, on Twitter. I am at Nick Capozzi. That's N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I, or Z-Z-I if you're in Canada. And Big Thunder, Big Sexy from North Carolina, Mr. JB Gilpin is at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. Cool? Good? All right, great. Just another note before we start off with the list of 20. That kick-ass song you heard at the beginning of the podcast was our very own Razzball house band, Symphony of Nine. They were joined today by rapper Juice Jones. You'll be familiar with them if you followed us on the Razzball Baseball Podcast this season. And a quick note, if you happen to be in Toronto this Saturday, August the 18th, they'll be playing at Lee's Palace, and I'll actually be hosting the concert and doing some stand-up. So it's a great opportunity to mock me in public. So tweet me if you want any of the details. Okay, so let's get rolling here, JB. Without further ado, we bring you 20 players who'll matter one way or another in 2012. Number one on the list is none other than the third pick overall in the NFL draft this year from the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Trent Richardson. What do you think about Trent this year?
Well, you know, before this knee scope, surprisingly, Trent Richardson was going up almost to number three overall in fantasy drafts. We've never really seen this kind of momentum from a rookie before. He was going to, you know, lead almost every carry for the Browns. He's got great hands, so he's looking to get a ton of targets. But this knee scope is really changing his value. He probably wasn't going to end up on any of my teams this year anyway, and now he's definitely not. What are your thoughts on him this year, Nick?
Well, I think part of the reason there's probably a lot of buzz about him going into it is because with all the running back by committees, and it looks, at least theoretically, like he was going to be the main guy in Cleveland, I could see why people would reach for him. My concern is, will he be ready for week one? And on top of that, I mean, he's playing in a tough division, and we'll talk a little bit about Pittsburgh and Baltimore later. You know, but when you are playing against, you know, the Steelers and the Ravens and a much improved Bengals defense, that's a lot of hits. I'd also be a little bit concerned about him tiring late into the year. Have you heard? Sorry, let me ask you a better question. Would you grab, if you do draft Trent Richardson, or if you've already drafted him, I mean, what kind of priority are you putting on getting Montario Hardesty as a handcuff?
You know, I'm probably not putting much priority in it. I'd rather play another backup from another team, but another two-headed back from another team. I'd rather go with someone else. I'm not going to put any stock in any of these Cleveland backups. You know, Hardesty looks like he'd be taking the carries if Richardson's out, but Brandon Jackson might get in there. Chris Obanaya, who is awful. I call him Chris Og Bonifacio. He's just awful. it's just not a good backfield without Trent Richardson. And with Richardson hurt, you know, I don't think it's going to be a good backfield all year.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get to the second guy on our list. That is Matthew Stafford from the Detroit Lions. I know, JB, you and I have discussed him a little bit prior to recording the podcast, and you're not as high on him as the industry. Why not?
You know, I just feel for a guy who's had one good year along with a couple injury-plagued years, you know, given he's young, but his ADP is just way too high right now. I'm looking at ESPN. He's going 12.7. On Yahoo, he's down to 17.8, but I really would not pick him before the fourth round, and obviously he's not going to fall that far. I'm just really nervous that if Calvin Johnson goes down, his receiving core is not going to look as good, and if he's shown he's injury prone, if he goes down, you've spent such a high pick on someone. I just, you know, fantasy football is, there's a lot more gut checks than any other sport. I just have a feeling this is not going to be the year for Matthew Stafford.
All right, listen, I hear what you're saying. You got some good points there. I will point out, though, I think that some of the other weapons are underrated. Obviously, just because of what Calvin Johnson did last year, he looks like the top of the tower, and he is, obviously. But I think Broyles is healthy. I don't think Titus Young has nearly shown us his upside. Pettigrew has some good hands, and I don't know who's going to emerge out of the backfield, but it can't be as bad as last year. At least I hope not. All right, number three on the list from the New Orleans Saints, Jimmy Graham. What do you like about Jimmy Graham or don't like about him this year?
You know, we earlier on the site, we did a fantasy football face-off between Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski, and I took the Gronkowski side. I'm going to spend a first or early second-round pick on a tight end, I'm picking Gronkowski. I think he's safer. I do agree that Graham has a bigger upside, but I'm going to want the safer guy that's just going to be the set-it-and-forget-it tight end. I think both will be solid, and I know there's a lot of mouths to feed in New England, but every time they've had a huge player emerge, they're going to stick with them. With Welker when he had his breakout, when Moss had his breakout, you know, there might be some regression. I don't think he's going to be a tight end that sets all the league records again, but I think he's solid.
All right, listen, I'm actually going to – if I got to choose between the two, I'm taking Jimmy Graham, and I'll tell you why. I know that Darren Sproles is going to catch a boatload of passes in New Orleans, but that being said, after Marcus Colston – I would actually say Jimmy Graham's the number one receiver, but the only other guy that I might be thrown to there is Marcus Colston. And I think you said it, there's a lot of mouths to feed New England. You've got Hernandez, who's emerging. You've got Brandon Lloyd, who used to play with under Josh McDaniels. There's been good reports so far. You, of course, have Wes Welker. You've got the running backs that can catch the ball. So, I think actually, just my two cents, I think actually Gronk's in for a big regression. Okay, just one quick question on that. Just shoot me a number. How many catches, not touchdowns or yards, but how many catches do you think Gronk gets and Graham gets? Just a number.
86 for Gronk, 82 for Graham.
Okay,
I think Gronk's going to have a lot more open field. Graham's going to get a lot more scheming to guard him.
Okay,
you said it. He's going to be their number one receiver. You can't say Gronk's going to be New England's number one receiver and scheme against him, or else they'll burn you with all their other guys.
Well, JB, you know, that's why they got you and they got me, so we can hash this out. All right, number four on the list, we've got Brandon Marshall out of Chicago. He has an interesting track record. There is no question. But early reports are interesting. Tell me about him.
You know, I really do like that he's reconnecting with Jay Cutler. I think there's something here, but I feel like the hype might be getting a little too high. I like about where he's going. If he's in the fourth round, I might try to grab him. His ADP on ESPN is 36th overall. On Yahoo, he's going all the way up at 24.9 overall. If he's there around the 36th pick, I think he's going to be a good value, but I'm not going to pick him in the third round. Just because he's, you know, with the same quarterback doesn't necessarily guarantee success. I know there's going to be a lot of shootouts against the Lions and Green Bay, but I think he can have a couple disappointing games in there as well.
And I think, again, I like what you're saying, but I'll even take it a step further. I think he might have a monster year, and I think it is because of those bad secondaries in that division. I don't know. I mean, we'll see with Woodson moving to safety how Green Bay's secondary winds up working, but Detroit's secondary is still a mess. Minnesota's is still a mess. And I think, too, you know, Marshall's got something to prove. So the only concern I have is that, you know, the Bears' offense is the Bears' offense. They've been so bad for so long. But let's keep moving on to number five on our list. We've got DeMarco Murray from the Dallas Cowboys.
I really, really like Murray this year. I think with all the question marks of dual backfields and people not taking number one roles, DeMarco Murray is going to get a lot of carries when he's healthy. I know injury plagues his career. It plagued him in college, plagued him in the pros. He couldn't get through more than five or six big games last year. But, you know, I don't want to draft someone or not draft someone just because I think they're going to get hurt or not get hurt if they're not hurt right now. So I think he's worth about second round value, and he's going all the way down in third and fourth rounds in some drafts. You know, ESPN, he's going pretty high. He's going a little further down than Yahoo, but he's a running back that's ending up on a lot of my teams that I'm drafting this year.
I'll tell you what, we're going to box over this one because DeMarco Murray will not be on a single team of mine. I was going to throw one stat out at you. 85% of his rushing yards last year came in six of the 13 games he played in. I think he had some good games. I think he's an interesting talent, but two other points regarding the Cowboys in general. One, the offensive line is terrible. Two, that offense every year is just full of overrated players. You want to talk about Austin. You want to talk about Brian. You want to talk about Romo. Do they all have upside? Yes. But I think there's too many, I don't want to say divas, but there's too much drama there for me to invest in any of those guys at where they're going. So
let me box right back at you, maybe give you a headbutt across the seat of my car and maybe get divorced with you. But his first five games, I'm looking at his attempts. He's 2, 6, 2, 4, 11. He was not the main back in that backfield. He didn't really get a shot until he ran all over the Rams. His first five games, he's only got 27 carries as opposed to 25 in week 7, then 8, 22, 20, 25, 22. I think he's going to get a lot of 20 carry games. He's going to get a lot of work out of the backfield. All he needs to do is stay healthy. I'm going to hope he stays healthy, and he's going to be on a lot of my teams. 5.5 yards per carry last year. He's going to be a good back this year.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, listen, you make some good points, but I'll tell you this. If you and I start boxing, I'm 6'3" and you're 6'8", so that you might be the first guy ever to have reach on me. All right, number six on our list is a guy I actually like a lot. I'm curious to see what you think about Michael Vick this year.
Oh, Michael Vick. He was good when he played. He just wasn't the value that you were hoping he were. The only league I actually had him in was a keeper league where I actually picked him up the year before. So I was looking for a huge year, and he just didn't really deliver. But for his value, he's going 33rd ADP in ESPN. You know, I'm going to take him before Eli Manning. I'm going to take him at that value before Matthew Stafford in the second round. I think he can have a good year. He's got, you know, there's some question marks about his weapons, but I love DeSean Jackson this year. We're going to talk more about him in a little bit. It's the same thing with DeMarco Murray. If he can just stay healthy and not hit his hand on people's helmets, he'll be all right.
Listen, you know what? You make a good point, and I would also take Vic ahead of Stafford. In fact, if in a one-year league, if I was really happy and felt I had a real ace in the hole with my first-round pick, I'd probably go and get Vic in the second round no matter where I was picking. Because if you believe in someone, you have to go and get them. I'll take probably a good backup quarterback, but I think that if Vic is anywhere near his game from 2 years ago, he might have a huge year. In fact, I'm really big on all the Eagles. I know we're going to talk about a couple of them later. If I got, you know, Ray Rice or Arian Foster in the first round, I would take Vic in the second round, and I would walk out of that draft no matter what else happened with a smile on my face.
Yep, and you know, in that same keeper league here, I got a question for you. I had a friend, in this longtime league that we've been doing since our early teens, he offered me Andre Johnson straight up for Michael Vick. It's a 2-quarterback, 4-wide receiver, deep PPR league.
Wow.
Would you take that deal?
How many keepers?
5 keepers every year. No value associated with them. Just 5 keepers.
I think I would take Vick. It depends on who else you have, and we won't go into that right now, but I think if I have to pick between Andre Johnson this year and Michael Vick, and I guess it also shows, you know, I'm all in on Michael Vick this year, but yeah, I would take Vick, I think, and I don't think I'd even think twice about it.
I got you. I'm really thinking about it. I want to see what's up with Andre Johnson's little groin strain. He's always hurt as well. That's the big question mark about it. If he was for sure healthy, I'd take it.
Yeah, but the Texans are going to run until Tuesday morning on whoever they're playing on Sunday. I mean, that's the other thing, too. You know, I know that Johnson, oh, he looks good, he looks sexy. But you know what? He's always hurt. He's banged up, you know? So, yeah. And listen,
hey,
okay.
I have Arian Foster, too. So I would have both sides of the Texans' offense.
See, I wouldn't want to have a running back and wide receiver on the same team. I'd be okay with having, I guess that's something we could debate at another time. But anyway, yeah. I think I would take Michael Vick in that equation. Okay, number 7 on the list is Steve Smith. And not the one from St. Louis Rams. The one's from the Carolina Panthers. Huge year last year. Is his resurrection real?
I think so. Steve Smith has always looked good, even when he had the ghost of Jimmy Clausen and Vinny Testaverde throw into him. As you said earlier, I'm from North Carolina. I've lived here my whole life. I'm a huge Panthers fan. Steve Smith is our hero here. I think he's going to have a solid year, but I don't see him building on last year's numbers at all. I think it's going to be a regression. I think the Panthers are going to be in games. I don't think they're going to throw as much like they did last year. I think he's going a little too high. I wouldn't pick him where he's going right now.
You know what? He's Steve Smith. I like Steve Smith. I think it's interesting because I think everyone thinks that Cam Newton's yards are going to regress. And that's possible, but I also think too, last year he didn't have a training camp, you know, he didn't have a playbook. He went into, you know, he went into last year on a wing and a prayer. So I would suggest, or I'll at least float the idea that the Panthers and Cam Newton might throw the ball more, I think, than people are thinking. Plus, I could also see Brandon LaFell emerging on the other side, you know, which would open up a little bit of space for Steve Smith.
I'm not a huge LaFell fan. He had a couple big games, but he just didn't really click as well as I thought he would. I liked what I saw from Lewis Murphy, and surprised with what I saw from Ajira Tutu that we got from San Diego. That's just a fun name to say, too. I thought those were they showed some pretty good plays. I think those guys are going to be right there with LaFell in numbers. I don't think LaFell's really going to have much fantasy value this year. I still think it's Smith that is going to be all the fantasy value for wide receivers in Carolina, but I just think he's going to regress a little bit. I'd rather have DeSean Jackson going much later, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
Oh, I hate DeSean Jackson. All right, I'm going to give that to you because you're based in Carolina. I'm based in Toronto, so I get to root for the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. And if you don't know what the Canadian Football League is, it's probably best that you just don't ask. And that's, you know.
Isn't it 120 yards or something? I can't count that high.
You know, don't get me started. It is, You know, I'm a huge sports fan. I'm a huge football fan. And all I'll tell you is that I would rather watch a professional lacrosse game than try and understand the Canadian Football League. But that's another story.
I don't know what it's all about either.
That's the best you got? That's what you're going to box me with?
I don't know anything about Canada. It's our hat. That's all I really know.
Oh, man. Okay. Next on our list, number 8, is Doug Martin of Tampa Bay. He's shooting up the rankings. What do you think, JB?
I think Doug Martin is, obviously he's going to be the second best or second highest drafted rookie running back. I think he's also going to be second best or maybe even right up there with Trent Richardson, depending on how many weeks Richardson misses. The coaches are raving about him. They want him to be the guy, but LeGarrette Blount is playing like a man that needs to get a job back after his terrible 2011 season.
Yep.
I think Blount's going to be will play a little closer to how he looked in 2010. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a timeshare 50-50 than people are thinking. A lot of people are saying, you know, 70-30, 75-25 with Martin taking most of the carries. I think it's going to be a pretty even back.
Yeah, you're splitting up on us. But, yeah, I do think that it's probably going to be a split backfield. I think, too, what's interesting is that Tampa Bay's offensive line is actually one of the best in the league. People don't talk about that. Shiano's a big running coach. So, I don't know where to pick Martin this year. I'm really not sure. But I think that Blount is going to be more useful than we thought. I think that whole Tampa Bay team is actually going to have a big rebound. So number 9 on our list, and this is, we're going to do a couple of these. We're going to split this into two players. Number 9 is the two top receivers from Denver, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. Tell me why you grouped them together, JB.
Well, they both just have so much value and so many question marks with how Peyton Manning plays. And everyone's wondering about Peyton. I'm more worried about how these receivers are going to be drafted. A lot of people are going to reach for him, but a lot of people are going to pass on him, too. It really kind of depends on your league and who you're drafting with. I like Decker more this year than Thomas. I think Thomas a lot of people rave about how talented he looks, but he looks like a glorified tight end out there, and it makes sense with Tebow throwing ducks up in the air for Thomas to jump up there and grab them all Pac-Man style. But we've seen Peyton have a lot of success with the shorter, faster receivers, Marvin Harrison, Austin Colley, you know, before he got his head shattered. So I think Eric Decker is going to have a solid year. I'll take him in PPR and in non-PPR first. And if either of the receivers are going to end up on my team, it's going to be Decker.
Yeah, you know what? I think I agree with you on that. And number 10 on our list is another receiver that people are kind of stuck on. It's Brandon Lloyd, who, as I mentioned earlier, is back with Josh McDaniels in New England. And, of course, it was 2 years ago that Lloyd was the top receiver in football when McDaniels was the head coach in St. Louis. So what do you, sir, think about Lloyd? Because, again, there's a lot of mouths to feed there.
Well, I certainly don't think he's going to be the number one receiver in football, that's for sure. But I do like him this year. I don't think he's going to be a top three receiver, and I don't think he's going to be out of the top 20. I think he's a pretty good lock to be in the top 15 or so. I think he's going to be worked in a lot. He's going to have a lot of room opposite Gronkowski and Welker. We've seen that Tom Brady is quick to lock up with the elite wide receivers that they've brought in. We all saw what happened with Randy Moss. I think he has a nice, you know, 75 catch, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns type year, and that's going to be a really solid bottom end number one, top end number two.
Okay, let me just throw some quick names at you. Just give me a name, not a reason. Would you rather have Lloyd or Mike Wallace?
Lloyd.
Lloyd or Marcus Colston?
I think that one's really close. Probably Colston, but be close.
Lloyd or DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson. I love DeSean Jackson.
All right, we'll
get
to him. Hold on. Hold your horses there, JB. Southern Cowboys. all right, listen. Okay, one more thing, too, and I think this is what's confusing a lot of people. Put in your mind what the pecking order for catches is going to be in New England between Lloyd, Welker, Gronk, Hernandez.
You know, I hate to pussy out of the question. I think it's just going to be whoever's open. I don't think there's really going to be any rhyme or reason about it. I like, if I had to for every week, I would probably say it's still Welker number one. He always seems to lead him in catches. Then probably Gronk, Lloyd, then Hernandez.
All right, see, I am not going to pussy out of the question because I am Canadian and we wear beaver pelts to bed, so we're real men. I'm with you, Welker, Gronk, but I tell you what, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm not that high on Lloyd this year. I'm actually going to put Hernandez ahead of Lloyd.
I do think Hernandez is going to have a big year, and a lot of people are not picking him where he should be going because they just automatically assume with Gronkowski there can't be a good number two tight end that's going to be on your fantasy team. I think he's undervalued. He's going to help a lot of teams out.
And I think big guys like you and I, see, we never have to deal with the lots of mouths to feed when we were younger. That's how we got so much protein into us.
All right. Exactly. And I grew up next to a nuclear power plant, but, you know.
Oh, dude, you just gave me a season worth of material right there. All right, number 11 on the list. We're going to combo again the two rookie quarterbacks, RG3 and Andrew Luck. I tell you what, they're getting a lot of hype. There's a lot of news out there on them. I think they're both going to be useful. But here's what I want from you, JB. Just throw me some stats. Give me yards, touchdowns, interceptions. First for RG3.
I think RG3's yards are going to be a little disappointing. I'm going to say 3,100. 19 passing touchdowns, 23 interceptions.
Wow. And what about my man, Andrew Luck?
I like Luck to have a better passing year. I'm going to say something like 33-50, maybe 25 touchdowns, 20 picks. Both of them useful, both of them fill-ins. I think Luck is getting a little undervalued because everyone sees RG3 and they think, oh, Cam Newton, it's going to be another running quarterback that's going to be a top 10 player maybe. I just don't see that happening in Washington. I think Luck's going to have the better season. I think RG3 might have the better fantasy career, but I'm going to pick Luck this year if I have to pick one of them.
All right, sounds good to me. Number 12 on our list, Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you know what? Okay, hold on. Before you talk about Antonio Brown, I want to get on my soapbox for a second. A couple things I need to say. And I love the city of Pittsburgh. I'm just throwing that out there. Big fan. But I will say this. There will not be a Steeler on any of my teams this year. The line looks terrible. The Castro and Adams so far in preseason, the two top picks that they used to try and solidify the line have not adjusted well. That could change. Roethlisberger is beat up. We're talking about a rotator cuff injury. Mike Wallace is not in camp. If he's not there to take the top of the defense off. And the defense itself, the Pittsburgh defense, is getting older. So again, please, people of Pittsburgh, I still love you. But I don't think I'm going to own any Pittsburgh Steelers, including Antonio Brown.
I probably won't be picking Brown either. I'm definitely not picking Mike Wallace. You just heard me take Brandon Lloyd ahead of him. But I think Antonio Brown has got a nice bit of value kind of towards the end of the third tier of wide receivers. He might be your flex play, your wide receiver number three, and I'm okay with that. I know Big Ben's always hurt. You know, like you said, he's got the rotator cuff. Last year it was the foot, the knee. He probably had chlamydia. You know, he's just had all sorts of injuries. So, but I think they're going to have to throw. I think their defense isn't going to be quite as stout. They're going to have a lot of trouble running the ball consistently. They're going to have to throw to stay in games. I like Brown better than Wallace this year, actually. I've heard that Wallace is probably going to be there for week one. There's some speculation that he is coming back and he's still training hard. But I think Brown could be a pretty good value. I'm not going to reach for him, but I like him about where he is.
All right. Number 13 on our list is proof positive that you grew up next to a nuclear power plant. Because you are all in on DeSean Jackson, and I don't get it, man. So you need to try and convert me.
this goes back to my gut check theory. I just have a feeling that DeSean Jackson last year had injuries. The Eagles were not the dream team that Vince Young promised, because Vince Young's a moron, but whatever. I'm not the biggest Eagles fan. I'm not just saying DeSean Jackson because I think that the Eagles are going to fly high finally, but he's an explosive guy. He just got his new contract. Michael Vick is playing for, you know, this might be their final season where they can really make a Super Bowl push with the core that they have. I think he could have a solid 80-catch, 1,300-yard season and maybe double-digit touchdowns, a lot of deep plays. I just have a feeling that this is going to be DeSean Jackson's year.
All right, just so you know, you were going to ride DeSean Jackson all season long, my man, because that is, you're out to lunch. I tell you who will be the star in that offense though this year, and that, if he's healthy, is going to be Jeremy Maclin. I could see Jeremy Maclin putting up the numbers you just said, except with even more catches. So that's my two cents.
I love that you had to throw in if he's healthy. He's already got a hamstring injury. He
all right, don't, wasn't hey, as, hey, you hey, know, hey, hey, with, hey, 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 don't get started with me on talking about injuries when we're talking about Deshaun. I can't go over the middle. T-Rex arms Jackson, okay?
Hey, what are you talking about? Practice? This is practice.
All right, number 14 on our list. And this one, okay, you know what? I know you're nuts about Torrey Smith from Baltimore also. I might give you this one. I'm not fully sold because I just don't like Joe Flacco. No disrespect to any Baltimore Ravens fans out there. Not a Flacco guy. But what do you think about Torrey?
I like Torrey a lot this year. I think he's going to have a solid season. My praise for him is somewhat diminishing. He's already got a sprained ankle from week one of the preseason. I agree with you. Joe Flacco is not very good, but he's Lee average. You got to at least give him about that. Nah. I mean, there can't be more than 15 to 18 starting QBs you'd take over him. I think Torrey Smith's obviously the number one receiver there. He got a good rapport with them once the season went on last year. I think he's going to have a solid season. And with him going so low, he's ended up in a lot more of my teams than I expected. He's going 30th overall in drafts that I've been doing lately. So I like Torrey Smith a lot this year. People going around him, Robert Meacham, Pierre Garçon, I'd have Smith above those two guys.
You know what, for the upside, okay, I'll give you that. I'm still not a Flacco backer, but I tell you what, I'm not knocking Baltimore. I've watched all five seasons of The Wire, okay? Baltimore, I love you. all right, the next guy on our list, you got some explaining to do, Mr. Gilpin, because I asked you earlier this year in a conversation, I said, give me a running back going in the 30 to 40 range that could wind up as a top 7-8 back. And you gave me Willis McGahee, number 15 on our list. Explain yourself.
Well, first of all, before listeners throw things at their iPod or, you know, send me hate mail, I do realize McGahee's getting picked a little bit higher than that. That was just my gut check answer without looking at anything. He's going around the, you know, 22 range. I just think if he gets through the whole season, obviously it's a big if, and he's getting up there in age, he's just going to have a really slow but productive year, week to week, you know, 60 yards, one touch, 110 yards, 80 yards, two touches. He's just going to grind out a lot of touchdowns. Peyton Manning's going to run down the field. He's got a lot of value put with Peyton Manning. He needs Peyton Manning and that passing offense to go. But he's going to be the number one back. I know Hillman's there. A lot of people are high on him. But I think McGahee's got this backfield locked down. John Fox, as much as he's going to have to adapt to Peyton, is going to want to run the ball. I think he could end with, you know, 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns. And that is going to surprisingly be a top 6 or 7 running back with all the dual backfields out there.
And you know what? That's scary. And you know what? You make some good points. It will be with some reservation, but I think Willis McGahee might be on a couple of my teams this year, at least hopefully as a backup. Hopefully I've drafted well enough because I don't want to be taking Willis McGahee home to mom. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't either, but that's a different question.
All right. Number 16 on the list, D'Angelo Williams. I know you like D'Angelo, but man, we got to talk about this one too, buddy.
I know D'Angelo, and ever since he had that huge 2008, he just really hasn't gotten back up to that value. But people have just forgotten that he's actually still a really good running back. Last year, our running game just didn't work, mainly because we were down every game. Our defense was atrocious. Everyone got hurt. I know Jonathan Stewart's there. I know we picked up Matt Tolbert, but Matt Tolbert just he looked awful in the I know it's preseason, but he looked bigger than he used to be. He tried to one hand a catch out of the backfield, and talk about T-Rex arms. Ugh. Anyway, he quietly averaged 5.4 yards per carry last year. You know, that's still really good in the NFL these days. Jay Stu and him are going to share the ball, but I could see him, if the Panthers stay ahead in games like I think they're going to, getting 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns and going to be a great flex play for most of the year.
Man, what does that tell you? Get running backs early, people, so you don't have to go through the headache and picking through this trash pile. No disrespect.
I kind of agree. I did a mock draft earlier for Lindy's magazine for Razzball, and I picked three running backs from rounds two to four, and they weren't guys I was really too high about. I ended up getting Forte, Steven Jackson, and Reggie Bush. But you know, people were making fun of me, but those guys, I'd rather have Reggie Bush than D'Angelo Williams, obviously, and then I could focus on the rest of my team. So
I
agree with you.
We won't
get running backs early.
We won't go into it, but I like Forte this year, and I actually like Steven Jackson this year.
I do too. I think it was a good team I picked.
Number 17 on the list is a guy that I'm intrigued by, but he's little, man. He's like petite, you know? Jacquizz Rodgers from the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, he's real little, you know? So tell me. I don't like the Darren Sproles comparisons because I think Darren Sproles is a very unique player. I do see a bigger part in the offense, but you tell me. What are you expecting from the quiz show this year?
I'm expecting that, well, first of all, you're going to have to spend absolutely nothing to get him. You might not even have to draft him. I doubt he'll go in all drafts. But he's someone I want to keep my eyes on, especially in PPR leagues. I only made the Darren Sproles comparison because I think he's going to get a lot of catches, and they're going to put him all over the
formations. Hold on. I didn't hear you making a Darren Sproles comparison. I was just throwing that. That's what everyone's saying.
Yeah, well, he's got two Z's in his name. I figured you'd like that about him.
Hey, you mean two Z's.
Two Zeds. Well, and you know, you're calling him little. I know we're both big people, and you love calling people little and stomping on him. He's listed at 5'6", 200, which may be a little generous. But Ray Rice, he's 5'8", 212. MJD, 5'7", 210. You know, each one's got an inch or two and 10 pounds on him. That's really not too much of a difference. Just saying.
Extra inch or two and 10 pounds? That's what I keep telling my wife. Number 18 on the list.
I know where your extra 10 pounds is.
Number 18 on the list from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Isaac Redman.
Well, you blew chunks all over your terrible towel earlier. You've got a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans mad at you, but you know, Redman's a good value this year. He's gonna be the every down back. They've got a backup, Jonathan Dwyer, who's pretty good. I live in ACC territory. I saw him at G Tech. He had some big games. He got in his very first game. He had 107 yards last year. I think he's gonna work his way into the offense a little bit. But Isaac Redman going all the way down at, you know, 31st overall, late 20s overall. As a guy who's a lead back, even if it's on a shitty team, I think he's going to be value as a flex play just because he's going to get the touches. You know, maybe you'll want to play a wide receiver in your flex, but sometimes you're going to need a running back to fill in at your RB2 if you got someone hurt or if it's the beginning of bye weeks. I think he's going to be a good value with how low he's going. I'm not saying like Willis McGahee's going to be a top seven. I don't think he has that kind of upside, but I think he's a solid, consistent guy this year.
All right, we need to clarify something. I did no such thing to the terrible towel. I have nothing but respect for the terrible towel.
I don't think Pittsburgh fans would agree with you on that one.
No, really. Hey, listen, I'm going to come down and go to PNC Park, catch a Pirates game, go to Heinz Field, catch a football game. So it's going to be good times down in Pittsburgh. They got great beer in Pittsburgh too. Pittsburgh is an underrated American city. How about that?
PNC Park is a really nice park. I'll give you that.
No doubt. Okay, two more guys here on our list. Number 19 of the 20 guys who are going to matter for better or for worse this year is of the Detroit Lions, Kevin Smith.
You know, Kevin Smith is getting overlooked because he is an injury plague, and I agree with that. But he's going to come into week one. Mikel LeShore is out smoking pot somewhere, and Javid Best is still got concussion-like syndromes. I'm not going to make fun of anything like that. But Kevin Smith's going to be the number one back.
Why you got to make fun of the pothead? Why got to make fun of the pothead?
Well, you know, he forgot that he was playing football, probably. He's probably playing as himself in Madden and getting like 1,300 yards and doing fine. But in real life, he's not even on the field. So I'm never going to pick Mikel LeShore. You know, I had fun in college, so I'm not making fun of that. But when you're playing football and you're getting caught that much, yeah, you got a problem. Anyway, I like Kevin Smith. I know it's hard to look past week one. But, you know, if he has a huge week one, I could see him staying in that role for a good amount of the year, and I'm just going to roll with that. You don't want to look too much too far down the season. Everyone's going to have injuries. I think he could be a solid play, especially in PPR.
All right, last guy on our list, number 20 from the Buffalo Bills, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Hey, here's someone we can both agree on. We both love Fitzpatrick this year. We both made a fan site for him, and we've been tweeting him sweet nothings. You showed him your extra 10 pounds. Anyway, I love him this year as well. He's got a great receiving core. you know, it's a little underrated. I know Stevie Johnson has got all sort of problems blaming God for dropping balls, but whatever. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing hurt last year. If you look at his stats and take out interceptions, he was actually a really solid quarterback. So if you need a good backup, say you drafted Michael Vick and you want a solid backup, or you're in a two quarterback league, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have a solid season.
I 100% agree with you. The only concern I have there is the receiving core beyond Stevie Johnson. I know there's some upside plays there, but I don't think there's enough depth at wide receiver and tight end, unless CJ Spiller catches 80 balls. That's the only concern I have there. But do I like Fitzpatrick? Yes. Do I like the Bills a lot this year? Yes. So there you go. So there.
I hear you. David Nelson, I think, is a little bit underrated. Donald Jones could have a big year. Scott Chandler was good when they threw him the ball. And who knows, maybe Mario Williams can work in like Mike Vrabel and get some nice 2-yard receptions in the goal line offense. I almost said goal line defense, goal line offense.
There you go. All right, listen, let me shoot two quick questions at you, all right? We're each going to get one answer here. We're not going to elaborate too much, but I'm just give me a late-round wide receiver that's going to get 1,008 this year.
1,008.
I'll tell you what. I'll start.
Go ahead. You go first. I'm going to steal your answer.
Jonathan Baldwin? You don't have to.
Late receiver. This is tough.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, I know.
Basically,
I made fun of him earlier. How about Austin Collie with Andrew Luck?
Yeah, listen, I don't know about the touchdowns, but I can see the yards for sure. All right, And give me a late-round running back not named Willis that could jump into the top 10 this year.
Well, I'm going to replace the W with an H. I'm a big fan of Peyton Hillis this year.
Yeah, as am I, actually. I have him in a couple leagues already, so I'm very excited about him. And I will also throw out CJ Spiller. I am a believer.
I am too. I think he's going to have some solid. I think he's going to have a lot of 2-3 point games and a lot of 18-17 games, and you're never really going to know. I think Hillis is going to be a little more consistent. If I had to play one of those every week, it's going to be Hillis. I know Jamal Charles is, you know, what everyone wants to talk about, but Charles is going to be limited even before the ACL injury.
With you, but Hillis is going way ahead of Spiller, so I'm taking a bigger risk, homie.
I'm looking at one ADP where they're 4 apart.
All right, so, well, listen, I don't know what kind of sites you're reading. Anyway.
Yeah, the same ones Mikella Shore's reading, probably.
Hey, listen, JB, great first podcast. Again, we'll be here all season long. The next 2 weeks, we got some great interviews lined up. Really good stuff. You want to catch the one next week, definitely. And don't forget, you can reach us via Twitter at JB Gilpin, GILPIN, and at Nick Capozzi, NICKCAPOZZI. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Good work, JB.
Peace, man. Take it easy.
That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Baby, little muscle man.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
Make some rhythm to the fans.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.